Good morning, everybody. Amen, amen. This beautiful, nice, cool, supposed to be sunshiny day, right? But like the guy said, somebody said, John just told me that the daughter looked up at her dad and said, "This is just not my day." He said, "No, it's a day the Lord has made." So that's one way to get a negative confession out of your life. Just remember it's not your day anyway. Is that right? This day belongs to the Lord. Every day belongs to the Lord. We used to just think that on Sunday. Well, I just got to live for the Lord on Sunday. Go to church and then come home and the rest of the week I can just do what I... That's not right. Is that not right, Jeannie? No, every day belongs to the Lord. I want you to stand with me this morning as and I didn't know if you were going to say something about our... Some of you know, maybe some of you didn't, but you know, we announced right after service last week about Brother Rocky, Bishop Rocky Morris, and how they had found him. Well, of course, we found out the details, and we drove down to Prosperity, South Carolina, population 1,100, and I think it was probably one of the hardest funerals to go to because it wasn't hard on Brother Rocky. He's rejoicing in heaven with the Lord right now. But he sang three songs at his own funeral. They played three of his songs that were just absolutely just, it was a wonderful celebration of his life. That's why I said it was hard and it was good too. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, it's like I said, every day belongs to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning to keep going to the Lord with every need that you have. Sometimes Christians get the concept, well, you know, I just asked the Lord to take care of me last week. I better wait a while. And, you know, we try to treat God like we do other people and say, I don't want to assume too much on the Lord. And I better just, you know, I'll ask him the next time. But this time I'll just handle this myself. If you ever, you know, of people that, well, you know, what I can handle on my own, I'll do, but then I'll ask God what I can't. That doesn't sound quite right, does it? I just said every day belongs to the Lord, right? All right, I want to read to you in Luke chapter 11. I remember years ago we sang a song about this, but I'm not going to sing it. But it's called, and starting with verse 9, and it says this. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, all of those words, ask, seek, and knock, carry with it the idea, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, there's another, in Mark, there's another version of this. It's Matthew, thank you. And it practically says the same thing, except where this one says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. In Matthew, it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask? So I was asking Pastor this morning. I said, okay, so why does Matthew say he gives good gifts when you ask? And why does Luke say he gives the Holy Spirit? Listen to this explanation. Jesus encourages prayer by reminding us of the nature of the one to whom we are praying. He argues from the lesser to the greater. If faulty human parents will meet the real needs of their children instead of deceiving them with harmful gifts, how much more can we expect our Heavenly Father to bless us with the best gift, the Holy Spirit, as well as with the lesser gifts? So our primary needs are spiritual, and a proper relationship with God through the Holy Spirit is the ground of assurance that He will provide both spiritual and material needs. Wow. Did you come seeking this morning? Did you come asking? Did you come knocking? Guess what? The Father promised to give it to you. All you got to do is open up and receive it. I tell you what, I've got my antennas up. I'm in the receiving mode this morning. How about you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Come on.
Praise Him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise Him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise Him. Praise Him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise Him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise Him.
Morning. Great in mercy. I woke up this morning with a brand new day in the Lord. I didn't wake up this morning thinking that I was carrying the weight of yesterday. And I'm not concerned about what's going on tomorrow. I take no thought of that. Why? Because He's the God of the I Am. Today is His mercy. Amen. Glory to God. And I tell you what, there's hope out there. You got your hope on this morning? Come on. Yeah.
Hope is here. Let us shout through everyone. It's a new day. Peace has come.
Jesus saves.
Mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us.
joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Free at last.
Are you free today?
The debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade.
Jesus saves.
Sing it through the dark of night. Sing it through the darkest night.
Jesus saves. Free at last. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We're singing out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. You save, you heal, restore, reveal your Father's heart to us. You rose to raise us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us. Sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Shout it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. So sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Oh, sing it out, a shout till the whole world knows your name. Your name, Jesus.
Woo!
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get that message this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Hope is here. He saves. He heals. Restores. Come on. Hallelujah. Start that song again. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be out there listening this morning. I pray that you are. Let me tell you something. Hope is here. Get that imagination. Get that picture in your head of what Jesus is going to do for you today. Amen. Yeah.
Hope is here. Shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come.
Jesus saves.
Mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us.
Jesus saves. Hope is here. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Free at last, every debt has been repaid.
Every debt. Come on.
Broken hearts can be remade.
Jesus saves.
Sing above the storms of life. Sing it through the darkest night.
Jesus saves. Free at last. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know.
Jesus saves. You say to heal, restore, reveal your Father's heart to us. You rose to raise us from the grave. Your Spirit lives in us. Sing it out.
Come on.
To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise the shout. To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Shout it out. To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise the shout. To let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Oh, sing it out.
To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise the shout. To let all the world know that Jesus saves. Oh, sing it out. A shout till the whole world knows your name. Jesus,
sing it out and shout, for we will know
your name.
Hallelujah, we praise you. Come on, just begin to voice your praise to him this morning as we praise, as we clap, as we sing and make a joyful noise unto him who is worthy to be praised this morning. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your glory fills the skies, light of the world, you are Lord of all. Humble by your presence, I'm amazed by who you are. Nothing compares. You are
name will stand forever. Majesty, you are majesty, majesty.
Oh, yeah.
Worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty.
Kingdom authority.
Kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own. His anthems ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship his majesty.
Hallelujah.
Jesus who died, he's now glorified, King of all kings.
Hallelujah.
Jesus who died, he's now glorified, King of all kings.
Your love in the presence of
forgiven so that I can forgive.
For a long time, I didn't know I was God's desire. You know, when people don't aim to, and I was sharing with someone recently about Christians being negative, but they have a way, some people do, and not knowing the power of the words in their mouth, of making you feel so unworthy, or making you feel like you can't do anything, or making you feel like you're never going to amount to anything. And when I realized that I'm the desire of Jesus, that when he was on the cross, he was looking ahead to what he would be, where I would be in him. If I'd been the only person alive, he would have died for me. So you say, Laverne, what about your self-worth? I have a Jesus worth, church. And as long as I keep my Jesus worth right up there in front of me, I'm not going to have any problem with my self-worth. Am I worthy with my own deeds? No. But when he looks at me, he doesn't see what I used to be. He sees what he's done for me. You are God's desire. Or he would not have sent his son. He said, son, I want them back in fellowship with me. I want it where they can just walk right into my presence, and it's got to be done by you. Covered by the blood of the Lamb, knowing that I'm free from sin. Sin no longer has a hold on me. That means I can choose. Now, does that mean that I never do anything wrong? Sometimes I make some stupid choices. But the hold that Satan had on me before Jesus Christ is not there anymore. I can walk in freedom, knowing that I've got authority And if I messed up today, guess what? I'm going to learn from that, and I'm not going to mess up tomorrow. But it's covered. Majesty, oh Majesty. Led this morning to offer an invitation to you this morning. If you want to come forward and realize that all of this is yours. Jesus can free you. Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. Remember, he said to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. He never gets tired. Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt. He can free you. So lift your voice in praise, 'cause Jesus can heal you everywhere you hurt.
faithful and so true.
Somebody here this morning, or there's somebody listening, and your children have hurt you, and the Lord says he wants to just take that hurt and comfort you this morning, and he wants to heal you. You know, sometimes we give our children, just as God gives us, the best gifts, the things we know that are right for them, and we know they're good for them, and they reject them. They don't want them. They just throw them back at us. We have to have the love that God has, the unconditional love that says, I love you anyway, and one day my love's going to reach you. Hallelujah. Number two. Oh, Jesus, I worship at your throne.
I worship at your throne. I worship you alone. Oh, Jesus, the holiest of all. On my knees I fall.
Thank you, praise and worship team. I would like to make a special announcement about next Sunday. Yeah, while Ronnie's getting ready. And the fact that next Sunday, of course, is our first Sunday of the month. Family, we sit together and we worship the Lord together. And I want you to know, parents, that, and we realize this here, having raised our children, that the only way children learn how to be in a service is to be in a service. I love children's church. They need to learn, and they're learning good, and they're learning a lot. But I believe with all my heart that one of the best things we did was let give teachers a break and let children learn how to hear from their pastor and be able to identify with this man right here and everything that's going on and know that he loves them. He's their shepherd, just like he's their parents' shepherd. And next Sunday, there is a youth ministry team coming. And Mackenzie, you know more about them than I do. Would you come here a minute? I'm putting you on the spot. I know that. And I've got a little sign up out there. And you've listened to them. You've been in their services, haven't you? You've heard them.
They are an awesome group. They're like some of my close friends. And I thought it'd be nice if the children would like it. There's going to be lights. It's just they're just a great group. Their pastor is just spirit-filled. They just, you know, love the Lord, and I think that everybody will enjoy them. So invite friends, invite family, you know, let's try to give them a big crowd and praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, this service, it's even though are they all in one family? Multiple families. All right. Now, do their families come with them when they go somewhere? Okay. So I need you to give me a roundabout number so we'll know how many expecting next Sunday. But I tell you, you will be blessed at what they can do. And it may spark something, you know, not only in the children and in the youth that reach out and grab, but some of us may say, you know what, if they can get up there and do that and they can have that passion for Jesus Christ at their age, then I can too. And I can expect it out of mine. Amen? Forgiven is their name. Now, our prayer list this morning, we have Jared on here, Elbert Burton, continued healing, Dimple Buck, healing for her lungs, Robert and Donnie Turner for salvation, Jim and Jan Hadley for wisdom, and Rosie Section, her hip, she needs a miracle, Patricia and all that Pat's been through, Jennifer Grimes and her boys, and all of Pat's family, and there's somebody's written down unspoken. But you know the Holy Spirit knows who that is. Marshall Taylor, is he recovering? Is he? Okay. Of course, this is Gail's stepfather, and very lively and loves the Lord, but very happy man. I mean, you know, you sit and talk to him, and you enjoy sitting and talking to Marshall. We just pray that the Lord, we just believe that God's going to touch him. Miriam, please pray for Miriam this morning. Are there others? Yes. James Gray. Epperson family. I saw another hand or something. Who was it? Okay, I knew I saw it, yeah. Okay. Yes, Janice Ramage. They used to come here. Yeah, they for 2 or 3 years they came here and were part of our children's church and part of our camps. They're one of ours now, church. Now I saw. Amen. 91. Was there another one? Yes. Your sister. Okay, we want to pray for your sister. And what was her first name? Christina, yeah. All right. All right, wait just a minute. You can, so everybody can hear you. Cause you, yeah, I know. You think everybody can hear you, but they can't.
We've been struggling. Benny hasn't had a paycheck job since December of last year. He's done odd jobs and stuff, and we've been struggling lately. The weather's changing. Not a lot of people are doing yard work, and I've been worried and worried and worried. And I got told, you know, quit worrying, give it to God. And I finally did. I finally listened, and he starts full-time work Monday.
Amen. Amen. I had the same thing happen to me a long time ago. Remember that? We had moved to Columbia, and everybody was coming up to me and saying, are you going to work? And I go, no, Jerry's going to. I mean, I take care of the kids, and he's working. Well, you're not going to be able to make it around here. Well, I got to getting the want ads out, looking at them. And at that time, he was working for the newspaper. And I'd look. I'd say, well, I reckon I could do that job right there. He came in one day. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just looking. He said, now, are you going to stay at home or are you going to go work? I said, well, I know what I want to do. My children are little. I want to be here with them. He said, all right, put that newspaper up and quit looking for a job then. Let me take care of it. Let me and God take care of you. Well, folks, I won't tell you no. He and God's taking really good care of me. Amen. Gay? Okay. Okay. Pardon? All right.
I know. Edwin and I have been praying for a miracle over this certain situation that we are going through, and God has just exceedingly and abundantly, over and above what we ever could have imagined to ask him for. He has answered our prayers and blessed us with the miracle that we needed. So we just want to give him praise and thanks. Amen. Hears and answers our prayers. Believe it. Believe it. He does.
Well, I was a stay-at-home mom when my children were really little, but as you all know, I've been through a horrible divorce, so I had to get out and go to work. Well, I had been praying, Lord, you know, the babysitter situation, I'm now in a county where my family's not just down the road, you know, what am I going to do? There's hours before I get off work, and Jeff gets off work, and the kids out of school. Well, the Lord has worked our finances out enough, because I gave it to him, and with the help of my husband telling me to have more faith, he's worked it out to where I'm a stay-at-home mom again.
You know, and it's not that we're not, you know, saying that you're doing something wrong if you're not a stay-at-home mom. We're not saying that. But that was just a choice that we made, you know, when my kids were little. And, you know, we do what we need to do, and what, as we get together as couples, we do, you know. And if you know, that's what you do. But understand, whether one's working or both working, God is your source. Amen? We're not putting down you who work because, you know, God's taking care of a lot of families with that way. So we're not putting you all down. Don't think that. But we have to let everybody be and live where they have chosen to live and be. You know? That's the way it is. Amen. Just believe it. We work hard, too. We just stay-at-home moms work hard, too. Praise the Lord. All right. Are there any other prayer requests?
Laverne's never drawn a public paycheck. 3 weeks at Walmart. No, it was Big K. Years ago. But anyway, before she interrupted me, she's never drawn a public paycheck. But I question her being a stay-at-home mom. A mom, yes. A stay-at-home mom, not much. Mainly the reason is because she's been chasing after me. Actually, she's been back here doing this. Turn around. Look that way. She's been doing this. And I appreciate all of it. We're going to pray over these prayer requests, and then amen. Well, my voice therapist told me what not to do. And as long as I remember not to do it, it seems to be working quite well. So we're going to pray over this prayer request, and then Brother Ronnie's going to take us before the Lord one more time before we can get the children off to their classes and get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings, for all the privileges that we've had to serve you. And Lord God, for the great opportunity to ask and to seek and to knock. And we come before you now, Lord God, on behalf of all these names that we've called out, that have been put on this prayer list. All of the ones, Lord God, that need salvation, that need a healing. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning, because that just encourages us to know that, God, you are working. You are moving. You are answering our prayers. And we thank you for that. So, Lord God, this morning, we believe for an answer to every one of these situations that we have prayed over. All of these names that have been spoken out before you are now on the active files of the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you for moving. We know you're the Savior. We know you're the provider. We know you're the healer. We know you are the deliverer. And we thank you, Lord God, for taking care of that. We pray, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters around the world, that you, Lord, would rise up big in their behalf. Lord, here lately we've heard of all the attacks that have been made against Christians in other lands and against churches and against families, even against family weddings that were Christian, and all so many that have just been needlessly killed for their faith. We pray for them, Lord God. Thank you for being their strength. Thank you for being our strength. Help us, Lord God, not to disappear as it is into the woodwork, but let us stand and let us show forth in our nation the light of the kingdom of God. Let us, Lord God, be the light of the world that you told us we should be. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking care of us as part of your kingdom. We have nothing to fear. We thank you, Lord God, that we're in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Testing 1, 2, 3. I need this mic up. Is it even on? Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing, there it is. Testing 1, 2, 3. I can't get that close to it. Bring it up a little bit. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. Go ahead and start it. Every Sunday morning was the same old tune. Mom and boy get dressed up, go to church till noon. Every time the daddy would make an excuse to stay, or he would go out of the door. His little boy would say, "Daddy, won't you come to church with me today? Promise I'll be good and do everything you say. Jesus loves everybody," I heard the preacher say. "Daddy, won't you please come to church with me today?" It was Saturday afternoon before the sun went down. Mom and boy had some errands to run on the other side of town. The sun was low and shining bright. She didn't see the car that swerved into her lane coming down the street. When the daddy heard his boy had died, he stood alone and cried, wishing he could hear those words heard so many times. "Daddy, won't you come to church with me today? Promise I'll be good and do everything you say. Jesus loves everybody," heard the preacher say. "Daddy, won't you please come to church with me today?"
"Daddy, Daddy, wake up. What were you dreaming about? It's Sunday morning. Would you come to church with me today? I promise I'll be good and do everything you say. So, Daddy, won't you please come to church with me today?"
"Daddy, won't you come to church with me today? Promise I'll be good and do everything you say. Jesus loves everybody," I heard the preacher say. "Daddy, won't you please come to church with me today? Daddy, won't you please come to church with me today?"
Hallelujah. Yeah. Classes, you may be dismissed. I wonder how many times that situation has been repeated through the years in families where they got to thinking other things were more important and serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went down to South Carolina for Brother Rocky's funeral. And it's not too big of a town. Like Laverne said, I think she said 1,200. And right next to it, there's another town called Newberry, South Carolina. And it, now it has the appearance maybe of being the size of Camelsville. And it's right on the interstate. But that's where he was in the funeral home, was at Newberry. And on Thursday night during visitation, there was hardly room in that funeral home for the people. And I looked at all that, and I thought of some of the things that you know. The Bible says that a prophet's not without honor except his own hometown among his own people. When you break that barrier, it's a real testimony to your witness as a Christian. He grew up in that town. And we found out that every place we went and talked to people, whether it was at a restaurant or a grocery store or a Rite Aid, at the motel, when we first checked in the motel, the lady asked us, or the subject came up, why we were there. And we told them that we'd come down there for the funeral of one of our bishops in our organization. And we told her, you know, Brother Rocky Morris. And she said, oh, I know Rocky. She said, my husband has been so inspired by him and his life. He's helped him so much. And her husband is part of a gospel singing group. And she said, I was just really sorry to hear. When the Rite Aid store, the clerk's name was Laverne. So I got to talking with her and found out we were from out of town, why we were there. Oh, I know Rocky. I think everybody down there must have known Rocky. There were people from New Jersey that were with him in the Navy years ago. They came down for his funeral because they kept track with him through the years. And I was sitting next to Brother Jack, and I told him, I said, Jack, I can almost guarantee you that Rocky's doing something at his funeral that you and I won't do at ours. I said, he's singing. And that's the first time I'd ever been in that situation. And I can't explain to you, sitting there, and Rocky in his casket, but hearing his voice, singing songs about heaven. And first one that they played that he had done was No Tomorrow's in Heaven. And then another one, Get On Board. And it was just a tremendous time. And but a hard time. But I'm thankful that we got to go. And we need to really just remember the AGA, because he was a whole lot more involved in things than most of us bishops. He had a lot of responsibilities because of the nature of his ministry. So, amen. Father, just thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, for helping us to be the lights that you told us to be, the ones that you prepared for us to shine. And we thank you, Lord, speaking to our hearts this morning. In everything, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 8. I believe this morning that this message will challenge you and encourage you at the same time. It will encourage you by letting you really, really know what it is that God thinks of you. And then it will inspire you to do what He asks us to do. You know, when you take a step to do something for God, nobody in heaven looks at you and shakes their head and says they'll never do it. I know we hear that in our ear many times when we're asked by the Spirit of God to do something. And then in our ear, what we hear is, you can't do that. You don't really think you're capable of doing that, do you? But God never shakes His head at us and says, they're going to fail. They just don't have it in them. That's not the way it is, folks. God is not asking you to do something so that He can chide you when you fail. And we need to keep that in mind. In John chapter 8 and verse 12. Now it's interesting, and I'm not going back, but this is the very first thing He says after He deals with the woman that the Pharisees brought to Him that had been taken in adultery. And the last thing He said to her was, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now what would that be to us? God catches you in something. You've really messed up. And you come before God. What's God going to say to you? I gave you a chance. You blew it. Get out of my sight. I don't want to ever see you again, because it's not possible for you to keep from sinning. How much comfort, encouragement, and motivation would you get from that kind of speech? But one like, hey, I know what you've done, but I'm not condemning you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not casting you out. Go and sin no more. You know what? That wasn't a command that Jesus gave her. It was an incentive to live like He knew she could live. You don't have to do this, sister. Don't get yourself caught in something like this again. You're above that. And then He said to them, that's the group that brought, verse 12, spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When Jesus spoke what He spoke to that woman, He gave her the opportunity to have the light of life. There's a better way to live, sister. We look at the stories of Jesus and the recorded history of Jesus, and we see these little signs and we wear these little bracelets and all these other things with WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? And we ask ourselves the question about that. Why? Because he's the ultimate example. He is the true light of the world. Back in chapter 1 of John, John says he was the true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Nobody comes into this world and nobody leaves it without the opportunity to receive that light. He is the example of what Christians should be, of what people should be. Now, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, go back with me a few pages to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I thought I just read where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So, is somebody mistaken? Is somebody trying to throw off their responsibility? Or is something being said? Is very profound. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to say something, first of all, about our attitude. Our attitude has to be right, or our light is dark. And Jesus said, if the light is darkness, then how much darker will things be? Darkness is bad, but light that's supposed to give light that puts out darkness is double bad. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, where are you going to get your good works? You're not going to get them because you manufactured them. All of your good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Our good works. So, what is it that we do that are good works? It's the direction we get from Him. What did Jesus say when His disciples said, Lord, teach us, what are the works that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said to His disciples, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who hath sent me. What's our work? Our work is to believe in him. You will shine brighter in the world by allowing people to see that you are wanting to believe him than by any religious activity you perform. There's people that sit in church all the time, and for some reason or other, they just can't bring themselves to believe. And I'm not saying they're not Christians. Did you know you can believe in Jesus Christ? You can have faith in him, but you can live like you don't believe. There's people that believe that they're going to go to heaven because Jesus suffered and died for them, and they believed in him, and they're saved, and they're right. They are going to heaven. But when they get caught in circumstances and situations, you don't see much of their belief jumping up to encourage them, because all they're believing for is, when I get out of this bad world, it'll be all right. You know, the people around you are not going to see you when you get out of this world. They don't need your light after you've gone to heaven. They need your light while you're here. That's why it's important that we shine. It's also important that we understand that the best light that we can produce for the world is believing the Word of God. I'll tell you what. Let's put a hypothetical situation here. You've got someone that's in a hospital, and they're gravely ill. And when the attendants, the nurses, the doctors, and everybody comes in, they present to them a radiance. God's taking care of me. God promised he'd be with me. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God is my healer. And you show forth the light of God through what you say and how you act. And I can promise you, in most cases, that person, at the end of their stay, can die. And in most cases, now I know there's a few exceptions. Some people are just so hard-hearted they can't see anything. But most of the people that they had to do with will say, you know, that person really had faith in God. There might be one or two every now and then would say, see, look what believing in God got them. Nothing. They died anyway. But you know, I'm going to heaven one of these days. I'm not in any hurry to go. Evidently, God wasn't in any hurry for me to get there, because I had my opportunity last year and I missed it. But the truth of the matter is, I'll give you another example. Rocky Morris was 54 years old. Not going to get into what happened because we don't have all the questions. Can't answer. They said he died of a heart attack. 54 years old. But all the people that I saw in that funeral home and in that South Carolina town, I never heard one person come in there and say, well, I just wanted to come by and see him because he talked about God all the time and how good God was and how God blessed him and took care of him. And now look here, dead at 54. No. It was just the opposite. And I put on Facebook when I found out about it and put a note on there to the family. He's now living what he's been singing and preaching about. How's that a bad deal? Except for the ones of us that are left behind. But what I'm saying is this. It's not what you do. It's what Jesus did for you. And your testimony to that, that is going to be the light that the world sees. That they may see your good works. One of Laverne's favorite scriptures is in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the good works that he does in us, that we allow the world to see in us. And you see, don't ever start getting in the mode of where you're thinking, well, I do all this and I do all this, and nobody seems to pay attention to me. It's not a matter of whether people are paying attention to us. What did Jesus say? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And put that in a little more understandable language. They look at you. They look at what you look like. They look at how you behave. And they say of you, he's just like his daddy. Just like his daddy. The acorn don't fall far from the tree. And if we're walking in a relationship with God the way we should be, that's what people are going to see. Now, Laverne didn't realize this morning with some of her songs and some of the stuff that she said, and I wanted to ask her before she left the house where she got what she's going to say this morning. And I just figured it came from God, because I hadn't said anything to her about anything I was going to do this morning. But now I want you to think about this. You know what stars are. Little twinkling things in the sky. Pretty little things. They are energy dynamos. They're the same thing that our sun is. S-U-N. It produces heat and light to us here on planet Earth. It produces heat and light to all the other 8, 9 planets. But some of them are closer. Some of them are far away. They're just not in the right relationship with the Son to be like we are. Of all the planets in our solar system, our planet is the one that has the right relationship with the Son to be what we are. Now, all these stars are other suns. But do you realize that the brightest things that you see in the sky, other than our own moon and sun, the brightest things that you see in the sky in the early morning in particular, in the early evening, when you look into the west and you see these tremendously bright, and we call them stars because we look at them and they're so bright, brighter than any of the stars, the morning star, the evening star. You know what they are? They're not stars. They're not bright. They're not producing energy. What they really are is the planet Mars and Venus, reflecting the light of the sun. And they're the brightest things in the night sky. Now, the point that I'm making is this. You and I may be just two more planets in the scope of existence. But if we have the right relationship with the sun and we are reflecting his light, and I'm talking about the S-O-N, then we can be the brightest things in the sky. Let's look at the, just for instance, and considering it's not theological, just exemplary, just as an example. The lights, the stars, are the angels. Angels are powerful, right? I mean, angels can do a whole lot of stuff. Angels just got it built into them. But the brightest thing out there is dirt and rocks reflecting the light of the sun. That's what we are in this world. We are reflectors. If something gets between us and the sun, we are dark. Sometimes when you look at people and they're Christians and they're serving the Lord and they're good people, but something happens and gets between them and the Lord, and then all of a sudden, their appearance changes. And you don't see that light. They don't smile. Something happened to them to block the light of their sun. It could be something as simple as a financial problem. Or pain in your body. Or something your kids are doing. You know, if we're all the time talking about what our kids are doing, and while we're talking, we're crying out of sadness, remorse, or frustration. And I don't want to be hard on anybody. But that probably means you don't know whether God's going to do anything or not. You hope he will. But I don't know. It's just such a bad. I don't know it. You just don't know what kind of shape they're in. You just don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how bad they've hurt me. No, I don't. But I know somebody that does. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our comforter. He said, I'll send, Jesus said, I'll send you a comforter. And he will comfort you. Now, what does it say about us being comforters? Does it say anything about us being comforters to anybody? It does. It says this. Comfort you one another. You know the rest of it? Comfort you one another with these words. What words are you talking about? Words you make up? His word. His promises. His faithfulness. What he said he would do. What he wants to do for you. You comfort them with these words. And you tell them God is the comforter. Jesus Christ is sticketh closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit is here to be your comforter. Doesn't mean you don't put your arms around her shoulder. Doesn't mean that you don't shed a tear. I shed tears this week. Not because I was doubtful about where Rocky was, but I was shedding tears because I said, I won't see him until then. But we show the world what Jesus is. How do we do that? By reflecting his light. By allowing it to come through us. I got one more scripture I want to share with you. You want to back up a few pages to Malachi chapter 3. Now I'm going to repeat Laverne's earlier sermon. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. They shall be mine. Now when he made everything years ago, he made it all to be his. But a little rebellion took place, and we ended up outside the realm of the kingdom. But he says, they shall be mine. When do we become his? The day we accept what Jesus Christ did for us. That day we become his. On the day that I make them my jewels. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, God made you a jewel to him. Now keep that thought in mind. We're going to go back there for just a minute. In just a minute. I think it's in the mind of God. I think it's awesome the way God spoke this to the prophet Malachi. He said, I will make them my jewels. And I will spare them. As a man spares his own son who serves him. Think about how a comparison he made. A man will spare his own son who serves him. You know what's ironic about that? I will spare them. Why was he able to spare us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God spares us as a son who serves him because he took the life of the son who serves him in our place. God made the switch. And he made us jewels. Jewels. The real literal translation of the Hebrew word that's jewels in this verse of Scripture is a Hebrew word that means a special treasure. It's used 8 times in the Old Testament. 5 times of the 8 times it's referred to as God's special treasure. It's in a translation, God's special treasure. 2 times, it's used to refer to a king's treasure. Only here, in this reference, 1 time, is it translated jewels. Now think about that, jewels. If you had a box of jewels, wouldn't that be your special treasure? Somebody gave you 10 pounds of diamonds. That'd be a special treasure to you. We are his special treasure. We collect things. We have treasures. It might be gold or silver or jewels or money or job, patents on stuff. And it's our treasures. But God has all of that to begin with. God's special treasure is you. He treasures you. He made you a jewel. You ever heard the old expression, boy, he's a jewel of a fella. We know what that means. He's really, really nice. He's good. He's kind. He's a jewel of a fellow. Now, us being God's jewels. Now, I'm going to get a little bit into what I said in the bulletin. Let's use a diamond as an example. There are other kinds of jewels. But let's use a diamond. All that a diamond is a piece of coal that's had the squeeze put on it. You know what coal is? Coal is carbon. It's just what's left over. Carbon. You know what carbon is? Carbon is the building block of life. If there was no carbon, there would be no life. You ever heard the expression people use, carbon-based life forms? That's what we are. We're carbon-based life forms. All we are when we're born into this world is a piece of coal. I can remember years and years ago, I used to watch, some of you may be old enough, but I know some of you are old enough, but whether you particularly paid any attention to it or not. But when I was a boy, in the afternoons after school, on one of the Louisville TV stations, they had two or three back-to-back programs for kids. And one of them was The Adventures of Superman, played by a fellow named George Reeves. How many of you remember him? You know, when he'd take off to fly, he'd just dive headfirst out the window and he'd disappear. And then they'd show him going through the sky, you know, like he was flying. Not near what they can do now. But I watched that as much as I could because I was a big fan of Superman. And one day on the program, it had something to do with diamonds. Somebody was trying to steal them or something. But anyway, they had this diamond, and they were in this, I just remember bits and pieces of it. But they were looking, and Clark Kent was there, not Superman. But Clark Kent. And so they were talking about the diamond. And this old professor, he said, he made that comment and it stuck with me. He said, here's a diamond. And he had a piece of gold. And he was explaining to them about diamonds. And he held up that piece of gold and he said, take this piece of gold and put it under 1,000 pounds of pressure for 1,000,000 years, and it'll become a diamond. Now think about that. As a boy especially, 1,000 pounds of pressure for 1,000,000 years. Now man, whew, that's a long time. Well, they had this diamond, it was some significance, and they had a scuffle or something, and it got knocked in and dropped into this, some kind of substance, I don't know what it was, can't remember that part, but they're moaning and groaning over the fact that they can't find the diamond, and Clark Kent standing there, and he's thinking about it, and the diamond's down in there, and they've done tried to They stuck their arm down in there. They can't find it. And something's going to happen to it if they don't get it out pretty quick or whatever. It was in jeopardy. But they had to find it and get it out of there. And they weren't having any success. And they showed Clark Kent's face. And then you hear him thinking, 1,000 pounds of pressure for 1 million years. Okay. Then he walked over to that, to where they were. On his way over there, he picked up a piece of coal. Had it in his hand. He walked over there and he said, "Let me try my luck at finding it." And he walks over, and just before he sticks his hand down in there to find that diamond, they show a close-up of his hand. And he goes, and you see dust fly out of his hand. And then he reaches down in there, has his arm in there a minute, and he goes, "Oh, look what I found." And they're so excited. But he really didn't find anything. He made it. In one squeeze of his hand, he turned that piece of coal into a diamond. When we submit to the hand of God, in one squeeze, He can turn our coal into a diamond. Now, that diamond is valuable. If I had a pound of coal, would you give me $10 for it? If I made that pound of coal into diamonds, would you give me $10 for it? Hey, it wouldn't matter if the whole pound of coal made a diamond that big. How many of you in here could afford a diamond that big? Without you taking everything you've got. That's what happens when He makes us jewels in His kingdom. Now, what makes a diamond a good diamond? How do you grade the quality of diamond? What is the main characteristic that determines the value of a diamond? How they sparkle. How they reflect the light that hits them. All diamonds are worth something. All diamonds are diamonds. The purer the internal part of a diamond is, the brighter it shines. All of them have some kind of little defect in them. And for them to really, really, really show off, you got to cut them. You got to take a hammer and a little chisel, and you got to make them into what you want them to be, even though they are already a diamond. Didn't Jesus say something about vines producing fruit? And I believe He said something about He cuts them and prunes them so they'll produce more fruit. Same principle. You cut a diamond, you shape it to make it shine brighter and to make it more valuable. God's done that to all of us. Say to yourself, or even look at somebody and say to them, you are God's jewel. Now, how do you get to be his jewel? How much you got to work at it to be his jewel? You just got to believe that you are his jewel. That you are a special treasure to him. That he looks at you like a jeweler looks at a diamond and smiles and says, it's mine. It's mine. Now let me tell you, let me ask you this. If you had a diamond, 10 carats, that's a lot of carats in case you don't know it. You got a diamond, 10 carats. Somebody, or it happens accidentally, throws your diamond into a mud hole in a pig pen. What are you going to do with that diamond? Yes. You're going to find it. And when you find it, it's probably going to be caked with mud. Well, just throw it away, because now it's dirty. Is that what you do? You'd clean it up. And when you got all of the mud off of it, what would you find? You'd find a diamond. Let me tell you this. Think about it and remember it. That diamond will never, ever again be a piece of coal. Now, here's flawed Christian thinking. God made us one of his jewels. We either jumped in the mud hole, or somebody threw us in there, or we fell in. And now we're in the mud hole, and we're all dirty, and we're covered with mud. And when God, if he came to find us, and as unworthy as I am, why would he come to find me? Same reason you'd go looking for that diamond. Because it's valuable to you. He can dig around in that mud. And when he finds you in that mud, does he have to look at you and say, well, you fell in the mud, and now you're just a piece of coal again. You're going to have to get remade. Or it's what he's going to say. I need to clean you off. I need to clean you up. And you know, you don't clean that diamond up with a stainless steel brush. You don't clean that diamond up. And I don't care. I'm just getting the dirt off of it. I don't care what happens to it. I just want to get the dirt off of it. I don't like it anyway. I just want to get the dirt off of it. You'd clean that thing to make sure that you got all the dirt off of it without harming the diamond. You got to see God doing you that way. If you realize you're in the mud hole, what you got to see is God to come and get you. God to get you out. God to clean you off. And during all of this, He still knows you are a diamond. That ought to excite you about what God thinks of you. He thinks of you. And then you're reflecting again. My son who was lost in the big pen, he's at home now. He's still my son. He didn't turn into a pig just because he got in the pen with him. You know, you can be a son of God and live like a pig. But it's not God's fault. It's not Daddy's fault. Coming back to Daddy. I've come home. Put on the robe. Put on the sandals. Get the family ring and put it on his finger. My son that was lost is found. What man having 100 sheep? He counts them and there's 99 there. And there's one that's missing. Does he just say, oh, well, he should have come home. Should have behaved himself. Well, that's just one. I got 99 left. I'm not going to bother myself over this one sheep. Jesus said, no. Leaves the other safe. And he goes and finds that sheep. That's what you mean to God, folks. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how you've reacted. If you're a child of God, that's what God sees. And that's what he wants you to be. And the great thing is, he will make you that. You don't have to make it yourself. All you've got to do is submit to him. Just submit to him. Stay at home with the Father. Amen. You're a jewel. If you have to do something to remember that, get you a cubic zirconia. I know they're not worth much, but they shine pretty good. Hang it where you can see it. And every time you see it, say, I'm a jewel. And you look in the mirror, I'm a jewel. You're a what? I'm a jewel. It's kind of arrogant, aren't you? No, I'm a jewel. I didn't make myself into one any more than a piece of gold makes itself into a diamond. It's the outside force that does the change. And in our case, it's the outside force of Jesus Christ that makes the change. Let's stand. Oh, one other thing. How does he wash the diamond? You are clean by the washing of the Word. What'll get you clean if you're dirty? The Word of God. Getting into the Word of God when we feel like we're spiritually dirty does the same thing to us as getting in the bathtub or the shower. When we feel like we're physically dirty, it'll wash the dirt off. Let's bow our heads. I don't think we've got any coal with us this morning, except coal lost up here on the front, and that's built a little different. but it might have some dirty diamonds. All you got to do is just submit yourself to the washing of the water of the Word. And that's just not all the scriptures that tell you you need to quit this and start that. That's the scriptures that tell you who you are. You can go a long way getting clean just by realizing you're not a piece of dirt. You're a jewel. So I challenge you. Do that. See yourself that way. See yourself as you're seen in the eyes of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for how you've changed us. That you found us dirty pieces of coal in the bowels of the earth. But you brought us out of the miry pit, and you set us on a rock, and you squeezed us with your hand to love, and you said, now you're my jewel. You're not a coal anymore. You're my jewel. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we see that, as we understand that, that all the chains that bind us will serve only to remind us they draw powerless behind us when we praise him. Let men see our good light, or our light of our good works, and glorify you by what we do. Thank you for that strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a good week.